Check us out on all of our social media platforms. On Twitter at TinfoilHatCast. Reddit.com/r/TinfoilHatShow.
On Instagram at TinfoilHatPod.
Or allcomedytshirts.com.
Email us at TinfoilHatPod@gmail.com.
Tinfoil hat. I'm not hot and heavy. I'm heavy and hot.
Welcome back to another episode of
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Tinfoil Hat.
Come with me into the waters of conspiracy with Sam Tripoli.
Sam Tripoli.
Tripoli's a bit crazy, but he's a really good guy.
With my friend Ryan Davis.
Hi, Ryan.
We're
like
the first
doing this
gay couple of conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I think it's beautiful, man.
Hey, man, where's the truth there, dog?
Oh, what the fuck are you guys even talking about?
It's some mystical, deep, dark realm, crazy shit.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Revolution will be podcasted.
Hey, did you just add that laugh from the Alexa laugh? Was that the Alexa laugh?
I feel like you're suffering a stroke. You asked that last time.
But is it?
Hold on. Am I suffering from a stroke?
Yes.
Is this last time?
Yes. Yes.
And welcome to Tinfoil Hat.
Welcome to Tinfoil Hat, everybody. How are you? We are live right now on YouTube as well. Hey, guys, did you know Tinfoil Hat is now available on Spotify? Yes, Spotify is making it easy for you to stream this podcast and many others like it on your mobile device, desktop app, and smart speaker. Open the app on the mobile or desktop, click on the browse channel, and then click the podcast section. Take me with you wherever you are, thanks to Spotify. How was that for a clean fucking read, Spotify?
Guys, thank you. That's actually very clear.
I was actually doing a cold read for you, going, you know, in case you need any fucking shady Armenians on your shit.
Please.
Guys, thanks for tuning in. We got a big show for you today. Real quick, wanted to tell you, March 25th, again, I am doing my live comedy taping at the Viper Room. It will be, there's a 7:30 and a 9:30 show. Just email me at samtriplelive@gmail.com. Tell me if you want to go to the 7:30 or the 9:30. It's filling up. I think we're only going to put 100 in each show, and we're already halfway there. So by the end of the by the next 2 weeks, we should be packed out. Don't come if you think there's rules to comedy, okay? Like, oh, you shouldn't make fun of this person, or you shouldn't make fun of that, or those jokes aren't appropriate. This is not the place. The hour's going to be called Zero Fucks, and it's going to be a great time. And like, the Viper Room is just going to be popping that night, and I'm super excited. So come down, leave all your, like, your rules that you think comedy is at home, and come get weird. Anything else?
No, that should do it, man.
Okay, why don't you introduce our guest, my friend?
Today's guest, you might know him from many things. Law and Order, Aqua Teen Hunger Force, my favorite, Your Pretty Little Face is Going to Hell. But the big one is The Last Podcast on the Left. Please welcome to the Tinfoil Hat Podcast, Mr. Henry Zabrowski.
Thank you so much. Hail Satan. Thank you for having me.
Hail Satan, my friend.
Your hair is gorgeous in person.
You look like the more successful younger version of me.
Yeah. I'm just the younger. Yeah. I think I'm just younger and I'm tighter.
Yeah, for sure.
And the problem is that now, because my hair is thinning, when I grow out my hair longer, I look like Philip Seymour Hoffman from Boogie Nights. And I'm not at that character level. Like, I'm not getting the roles I need to get in order to look like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're getting more and more character. And you know what? You guys do look like you're on some kind of, like, family tree. You know, some weird kind of hookup, like... You got a little bit more of the genes. You got a little less of the genes. You got more personality, but you get more ass.
Yeah. He's handsome. Just weird. Yeah. He's super handsome. I've had to do a lot to kind of overcome face and my body.
You had to overcome a lot of shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of yelling.
And you're successful, and he's just banging chicks.
I am definitely not.
And you both kind of want to switch. And that's where the comedy, this movie, I'm going to pitch you guys. You guys switch lives.
But we have podcaster DNA inside of us because now we all look like this.
Yeah, yes. Beard.
Yeah. We are a part. I don't know who knew back in the day, somewhere deep in this hills of Scotland, that they would make a bunch of yammering people.
Now, you're Polish, right?
Yes, I'm Polish and Scottish. I'm like the white. Like the Neapolitan ice cream.
No, I get that. Now, let me ask you something. Is there a part of you that, like, I've always wanted to ask a Polish person this. Is there a part of you that's kind of like, man, If, like, political correctness was back in the 80s when everyone's doing Polish jokes, like, would you guys have your own channel? Would be, like, Polish Entertainment Television?
Like, Univision, but, like, Univix. When you go and you, it's literally just all the people in wheelbarrows, like, joking about, like, the recipe for ice.
Yeah,
I think that would be fucking great.
People be like, hey, how many Polacks? Hey, dude, not cool, bro.
Well,
they're fucking people, dude.
The Polish mafia is coming.
Yeah, dude.
They're shut down your whole fucking
And then people
network.
Be like, there's not enough Polish directors in Hollywood. Since there's only been 5 Polish directors ever get nominated. You know how hard it is? And then there'd be Polish marches and Polish Lives Matter.
But now we got, well, Roman Polanski ruined that for us.
Oh, yeah. So you
I
guys,
think he did the bad work.
Yeah.
Like what Woody Allen did for young comedians.
There you go.
Like, how many Polish guys does it take? How many Polacks does it take to, I don't know, how many kids are they fucking? God.
Oh, fuck. Do you think Polanski is the last name like Hitler now? You're just like, I got to change that shit.
It's so common, though.
We're going to be Lanskys for now.
We're Lanskys. That's like a good shortening for like Ellis Island when they'd come. But I do have a pitch I really want to do at some point. I want to do the Polish version of Black Panther, where it's a holographic, like, technologically advanced society in the hills of Warsaw, where you go in and they've hidden it, and it's just called the Golden Pierogi is the man who's in charge of all. He's a part of a mystical line of warriors, Polish warriors, but they have to dress in the Polish traditional gear, where it's like fan hats.
Okay.
Everyone wears dresses. It doesn't look good.
Is anyone on there like a kicker for the Green Bay Packers? Isn't there like always a quarterback or a kicker that is Polish for the Packers?
Yes.
Always.
I mean, that's a mandate.
Sammy. Who is the top what? Aaron?
Sammy, as a Polish person, you could have asked this entire time.
We couldn't. We can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
No.
No?
Maybe that's a good thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
You we'll
your team has the Polish kicker.
Muted him,
so you're Polish, Aaron?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But you had the Polish kicker this entire time.
So was your grandfather also buried with his ass out of the ground?
No?
Yeah, we can't. No one knows.
Just assume. Who, like, if you had to do, like, who's the Mount Everest of, like, famous Polish people?
Oh, my God. I guess the famous Polish people are, you have the original Yankovic.
Okay.
Which was the polka king that was not Weird Al Yankovic.
Yes.
Then you have Weird Al Yankovic. Then you have
they're
Roman
all Yankovic?
Polanski. Yes, the two of them are. Of the four, one was Roman Polanski. It's being sandblasted currently off the side of the mountain. And then who else is Polish? I want to say there's a couple ones that like change their names.
Right.
Jerry Wayne Fatone. Gretzky.
Who?
Wayne Gretzky's Polish.
Wayne Gretzky is up there.
Okay, so that's the big four.
That's
right
the big
there.
Four. Yeah.
And
then it's like Jonas Jasch. Isn't there another like guy that was a forever goalie for some? It was a Jan Hurton.
There's tons of Pole NHL players.
We're good at the cold sports.
You really are.
And also the dumb shit sports where it's just the man lying in his belly going 400 miles per hour down the fucking during the Winter Olympics that nobody gives a shit about.
I thought the Polish would be better at the curling too. That seems like that reeks of Polish.
We should be better at a lot of things.
Yeah, for sure.
We just gotta work harder.
Like when Laverne and Shirley was on, was that like must watch for you guys? Because I think that's Polish too. Is there a lot of Polish in that?
I want to say it. There is some in that factory world.
Yeah, you're like
my family was. We were definitely an all in the family, and then we turned into Family Matters.
It's amazing. Now,
we're Family Matters.
Now,
family.
Are Polish like Armenians, where we watch the credits to see if any Armos make it into the credits of a movie?
My family did as much as they could to disregard our heritage.
Really?
I think that what happened is that my father was not taught Polish by his nanu. I don't know what it's called. It's like a bubia or whatever that is called. Like
right.
A ningnong or whatever the Polish name for a grandmother is. He wasn't taught Polish because they thought
ning-nu?
That it was... Ning-nu? Yeah, something like a ring-rong.
So great. So the Polish grandma is like some leader of an alien species.
Well,
and then there was nanu. And she had these babushkas and she made little things and she ate the baklava, and then she killed the children.
And this is what she did. She always, and she kept the rocks in her skirt to keep it down so the soldiers couldn't find her vagina.
But she didn't teach it because she thought it was a dirt language. That's what she should have been like, Polish is for the migrants. We don't learn the Polish. We learn American. You become movie star. But my father looks like an uglier version of Bob Hoskins. Like, I am the Hollywood version of my own
That's
father. He was
great.
A very ugly
That's
man.
Great, dude. That is great. Now you got a lot of Polish ladies. Who the like? We're Armenians. We're known for dating black men. That's what our lady's like. I don't know if you've heard of these Kardashians.
The Kardashians.
Right. There's a lot of that.
No, the Polish women are, I mean, back in the day, well, it seems to be the common stereotype is that they're supermodels until they're 50 and then they become crones.
They just melt, right? Yeah, is that ethnic chicks in general? That seems to be all ethnic chicks.
It's like a baji, 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 like saying that a lot. Or before, they're bitching hard. They're mean faced. Like, always on the train, especially when I was living in New York. It's like when you live in the Polish neighborhoods, it's always just like incredibly icy cold. Yeah. Like, if you died in front of them, they would step over your body, just being like, he messed up my heels. But then eventually they turn, and then they get some sort of like weird Polish grocery store like they have in Queens everywhere. Right. They just inherit them.
Right.
And then they go like, and they're just constantly sweeping.
I always picture them with like bags, and it's like they always have full bags. It's like, when do you ever empty those bags? What's in there?
This is all of my family. Don't take my family.
Just been like, you used to be hot.
No, his dream is ghost, you remember.
It is interesting how, like, we as, you know, I mean, Ryan's kind of new to the whole entertainment game. We were kind of friends through it.
With this face?
Yeah.
We met at Studs Theater on Santa Monica.
Oh, wow, yeah,
formerly
Studs.
The Pussycat Theater, but.
Why? That's like a 2 out of 3 podcasts where Studs been brought up. Maybe we could be sponsored by Studs.
Studs and across the street, the Pleasure Chest.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think they're liquid? Do you think they have enough money to drop in, or is it all, are they just skating by?
We just want free access. Whatever that costs to get in there, we just want you to be like, say tinfoil hat, and they'll let you into the hotness, dude. it's so weird that we are, how we are in this world of entertainment. And not that it's better than anything, but it's like this weird kind of, you're somewhat enlightened and involved, like you're working at a higher level. Working towards a higher goal, let's say, compared to like maybe when you go home and everybody's just like, get married, have kids, you know, cheat, divorce, get married again, have more. And it's just like this weird kind of like very, and there's nothing wrong with it, but a very simple cycle.
Yes, which depends on what brings you happiness. But at some point, I remember when we started really taking the show seriously, probably like 2013, last podcast on the left, when we started taking that seriously, we started realizing that we were like going to, I want to be an expert in this shit. I was like, I want to be Dan Aykroyd from Ghostbusters and Dan Aykroyd in real life. Like, I want to be Ray Stantz and wear Dan Aykroyd meat.
You just want to get that big gut. And then when you dance on Saturday Night Live, no one can laugh because they're uncomfortable.
Dan Aykroyd from Gross Point Blank.
Good one. That's when he was in a down cycle of his weight.
Yes.
Because you could see the fluctuations and he was in a good spot. But now
he's probably about coke at some point, right? Because he was in that coke world.
He gets killed with a television in that movie.
The original SNL dudes could beat the fuck out of you. Dan Aykroyd, they would talk about stories about him like grabbing bikers and shit. Like, they didn't fuck around. Like,
was he Polish?
He's just, I don't know what Aykroyd is.
What is Aykroyd?
We're asking the guy without the mic.
Okay, perfect.
Well, that was the 70s. They were doing like blow and steroids together. It was like D-ball and straight up like the rings of Saturn.
Like sketches where a shark shows up in an apartment. It's like, it's not like the most committed. It's not like they were writing tomes about psychology and like Sigmund Freud doing cocaine and being like, I understand my mother's sexuality. It's Dan Aykroyd just doing a stupid Julia Child's impression. Oh, gacked out.
Basomatic. You're like, holy shit.
Now let me ask you, would you rather live then or now? Because let's say your podcast, which is fucking humongous, right? It is something that is available, wasn't available then.
No,
but maybe the comedy was a little more looser back then. You could take a little more chances. You could talk a little more shit. You know, sometimes I wish we had the economy of the 80s, but the social awareness of today, but without the political correctness. Is that asking for a lot?
Technology was massive in changing my whole life, especially with being like a quote unquote expert in the world of paranormal and true crime and shit like that, which is kind of, it really helped me. Those tools helped me become who I am without having to just like live in libraries and live a life of a true recluse like the ancestors before me, or what, like how Bill Cooper ended up fucking getting shot by the police because he wanted to pay his taxes and shit like that. Where I can see that for me.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I would like that almost in a way. It's a nice, good way to cap my bio. But I, at the same time, I would not be able to do what I am doing now in the 70s. But I do think in a way that the comedy part of it was easier in the 70s, and the show business part of it was a little bit easier. It was a little bit more daring. It was a little bit more of a bunch of executives kind of understanding that we don't know what the fuck it is that we're doing, and so people were just throwing shit at the wall and see what sticks. Now there's so much money involved, and you know, we have connections. So I believe that the entertainment industry is also with the mouth of the government, and I believe that the
100%,
especially
dude.
Now, especially now more than ever, in a secret way, where you look at and there's just so much money involved that they can't afford anything to fail, and also things really can't be off message. So we get to live in a world where we are now afforded in these little microeconomies in this micro world where we could do podcasts and have fun and be ourselves and be in show business and make a living and do what we're doing, but we'll never reach like the amplified side of show business, like the weird counter-revolutionaries in the 70s kind of have access to fucking television.
Right.
Where, because
there's a lot of conformity now, and if you don't conform, it's harder to get up there. I had a conversation with some women recently where we, or a shouting match with these two feminists, and basically it's like someone asked me, it's like, can you get super high, you know, while talking a lot of shit? And I just don't know if that's possible. I mean, like,
I don't think it's possible. I think you have to get up atop. You have to get on top, and then all of a sudden you are labeled a dangerous and crazy person. I like Chappelle talking about the fall of Martin Lawrence was so interesting, about how like the word crazy, like once it gets popped on you, you are now a crazy person, and you are kind of like a persona non grata and not taken seriously, and then your volume's turned down.
Well, for Tracy Morgan, he was always crazy, and then he got smashed by Walmart, and we're like, eh.
That, in a weird way, that saved his career. I mean, like, if you look at it, dude, you look at it like what happened to him was he said a joke somewhere, someone ran home and blogged about it, and he got in trouble.
Yeah.
And
it's weird, but then a part of it's like, why do we care about the backlash either? Because then when people get mad about something that you say, your universe is so much bigger because we live on the internet. We're living in the AI's mind. Yeah. Like, podcasts live in a free world where it's just going wherever the fuck it is it wants to go in terms of getting people. So if you make a bunch of people upset, who cares? There's a bunch of people that are going to come and replace them as listeners because we're free. We're fucking right. We're unchained
right.
Fucking entities on the internet.
The genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah, which is very scary for the people, the powers that be, because they don't understand the medium and they can't get in. And they're trying to figure out how to make money off of us, but they also can't figure out how to control what we say.
That's the big thing. And they keep trying to promote these things, and you totally can. You totally can promote. There are like Podcast One, and there are all these corporate entities that put out these things, but there's just... It's just there's too many options for them to be able to control.
No, it's virus, dude. Fucking sweet. We're uncontrollable.
Blood in the water, right? Yeah. Blood in the water. So you guys have been around for 7 years, which is kind of how long my other podcast is. This is like the almost a year anniversary of this form of this podcast. Mm-hmm. And we've had a wonderful time doing it. But like 7 years, that's kind of a little before the whole like... what I think is this kind of golden age of conspiracies that we're in right now, where it's like, if you follow Q, you go on Reddit, like there's some amazing shit going on, whether you believe it or not, but it's still like an amazing time to be into this. And I feel like more people are coming to our side than leaving our side.
Well, it's also people being able to publicly admit that they're into things like true crime and aliens and conspiracy theories and shit like that. I think that's a part of it. The acceptance has kind of caught up to us.
Yeah.
Where when we were doing it in 2011 and we started, we were a bunch of shitheads.
We refer to that as back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the sweet, sweet 2011.
Back in our day, we used Yahoo for mail, okay?
I had a Prodigy.
Yeah. This little thing called MySpace.
I had to wait several hours for a picture of Psylocke to show up block by block in my AOL Superheroes to Masturbate To group I was in. It's true. This is
how I would. Hey, it's a good one, man.
Love Psylocke. Yeah. Still do. Oh, still in there. Still deep in the recesses of my fucking mind. But, we just...
we were guys that were into this. We were into serial killers. We wanted to talk about it in conspiracy theories, and we wanted to talk about it with ourselves, and we also knew that we just could, and it was something to do, and it got us out of our houses. We were just, like, way into it, and we're just like, well, let's just record the conversations we're having anyway. And then it just kind of caught up. So now it's very accepting. And then also we have a conspiracy theorist for fucking president, which to me has actually taken some of the fun out of it.
Yeah.
There's like, there's fun that has been taken out of it, that what Alex Jones, like the fall of Alex Jones.
And is he falling?
Yes. Which has come because he was never supposed to win. He was never supposed to be on the winning side. He was never supposed to be like, I'm in touch with the president and I love it. He was always supposed to be on the side
outsider.
Of it.
Outsider.
Yeah, and then the fucking spotlight got put on him, and he is not TV ready. He was not ready to go.
Now, always the question is this a shill? Is that guy a shill? Is this a shill? What's your thoughts on Alex Jones?
I think that Alex Jones exposed himself when he said, I am a performance artist, when he had to go and to try to keep his kids. Which I understand why he said that, because he was trying to keep his kids.
Right.
But also, you just showed your cards.
Right.
It's over. It's people like Bill Cooper. Again, go back to that old motherfucker where it's just like, he died by the sword, and you're like, oh shit. So that stuff's still around. I think there are people on the internet that are still like that, especially in the world of the UFO community, people that are like that, that are like, they're living in a fucking Home Depot shed on some other guy's land. And they're saying, like, there's no such thing as private land. And you know they're taking their job very seriously as a conspiracy theorist.
Yes, yes. What is your specialty? Do you have I was talking the other day, like, I hate to say it, like, we did an episode last week with a very funny, last Friday with Dan Cummins of Time Suck, and he thought Pedalgate wasn't real, and we had just a nice little conversation about it. And like, I've been studying that thing for a very long time.
Well, what's happening in the UK is brutal, and right. I think it's a part of where I. Well, my specialty, honestly, is UFOs. That's kind of like where I'm most obsessed with UFOs. I think that the question of alien life, and has it visited us, or what is the nature of alien life and the nature of UFOs, I think is a really interesting question. I think there's been no, there obviously has been some sort of cover up about the information that our government has looked into about UFOs. But when it comes to the problem is, it all connects back to all the other conspiracy theories. It's like, Pedalgate, I think, is interesting, but the idea of Pizzagate, when all of that shit went down, the problem is that who then took control and who benefited from that information was that it was when the alt-right movement took it over, that's when it's like, well, fuck, you've just now tainted it with your bullshit. So now this is over. And also, I don't believe that that poor pizza store was having it happen there. But that does not, to me, it's blowing up the bigger thing of, well,
throwing out the baby with the bathwater. Is that kind of it?
Yes, because you're now taking heat off of, there are organized pedophile rings that work within the show business industry and the government and various world governments that use it as a secret keeping mechanism, is a blackmail system. And it's been around forever. They talked about it during when they exposed MK Ultra. MK Ultra was also, they were trying to raise these kids to be, I forget what it is, the term for it, like dolls, whatever their term, what they would go, and the concept would be like, hypnotize a kid and drug them and then put him in the bed of like a, some kind of minister, somebody you're trying to get bullshit on, so that you wake up and they're like, you see how you have sex with 7-year-old, and he's like, no, me no make no come, and they're like, but they have pictures, we do, and then you're fucked. Because
this is like Polish community theater,
yes,
right there,
yes,
right?
You know how excited Sam is, because he can't do a single voice, so when he hears anyone do a voice, he's just like,
I
completely agree with you and all that stuff. It's very, you brought up something I want to talk to you about. It's like, you know, this doc we're going to talk about right now, about, you know, this guy gets all the stuff going on with him. And, you know, on Reddit, you're a alien guy. I'm a pedogate guy. And, you know, we got all these different things. And, like, you know what? It's possible that they're all going on right now. And all these things, whether it's, like, Bigfoot, UFOs, Russians. But it's like everybody – I do a joke about it. It's like everybody that Arnold Schwarzenegger fought in the 80s is, like, coming at one time at
us,
right?
They have a subreddit. You know? They are in charge of their own subreddit.
Right. It's kind of crazy, but it's like, The way to look at it is like this. Just imagine every movie you ever saw going on at the exact same time.
It's just, well, because there was an immediate, there was a story in the LA. I like following car chases because I'm new to LA, so I think that phenomenon's really fun.
It's cool.
It's fucking sweet. But there was a one car chase that was like, it led a bunch of cops on some kind of crazy car chase. They ended up jumping into a train station, like doing things. And I was like,
Grand Theft Auto.
Yes, exactly. I was like, that's the end of a Bruce Willis movie,
right?
That we just saw the news report on. Like the end news report where they're showing the ambulances.
Yeah,
we just saw the ending of the movie where I think that it is true that there's all these sort of. We've just been programmed to believe that all this shit is flights of fancy.
Yeah.
But there's also many conspiracy theorists that believe that back in the day that all of this was slowly pumping out information to get us to grow numb to the idea of spies, to grow numb to the ideas of gigantic hierarchical like systems that exist.
Or not be shocked by it, would you say? So when it comes out, it's not like, what the, like the aliens, like let's get into aliens, like, you know, all this UFO stuff coming out. And what was really amazing is that the Pentagon says that there's a UFO program and nobody blinked.
Well, it's because they did their job. This started a long time ago. When the alien activity started spiking in the 1940s, they didn't know what the fuck this was. Because it's like, it's 1947. All of a sudden you have this inrush of these people saying these objects are starting to show up above sensitive areas. They're like, the war is over. What the fuck is this shit? So they started really looking into it, and a part of their conclusions, especially like once Project Blue Book and all that got fired up, and when they put it, they finally shut it all down in 1968, their official research into it, by just saying like, well, this is not important to national security, we're not going to devote any more resources to this, it's so everybody could shut up about it. But a part of the inner document, and the way they talk about it, is that we will slowly leak information.
Yes.
As shit goes, because then it will become a foregone conclusion, so the stock market doesn't flip, because essentially that's what they're afraid of, right? Which is they're afraid that everyone will lose confidence in the structure of American society if they believe that these interdimensional crafts can
religion
pop in and
crashes
out.
A religion, you could see just a complete another crash of religion.
Fuck yeah. Well,
the Catholic Church has said that they would like.
But you'd go, hold on.
They flipped it. They Monica Bellucci did. Yeah. They did the thing where they're like, we'll say the aliens are part of the plan because they know, because the Pope, new fun, nice Pope, whatever, who I don't trust.
I don't trust any of them, dude. How about really scumbag Pope? It was such a scumbag. They're like, you're creeping everybody out.
Nice,
you gotta
to
go.
Have the villain. At least he's got a villain's face, and he's got Ratzinger with his fucking like his sunken eyes. He loves licking. You can see he loves licking little vaginas with a tiny little tongue. It's just like a frog up there. And I was like, but what a perfect. At least we know.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's evil.
Yeah. I mean, like, and then they got rid of him, and it's like, oh, this guy's such a nice guy. He took the bus to work back in the day. You're like,
oh, he's just doing it to grab on knees. I mean, like, it's okay. I'm the Pope.
But going back to everything, it's like, okay, like, the Pope's evil. There's killer robots over here. There's aliens over here. There's pedophiles over here. You know, it's like, it's all going on at one time. I always tell people, it's like, you think just this is reality? It's like you're at the mall and you're hanging out at fucking like Cinnabon, right? And you think that's life when there's shit going down at the Nike store, the Apple store, Victoria's Secrets, if we're in Canadian mall, adult bookstore, they got adult bookstores in Canadian malls, which is like
you can buy, awesome. Great. Right? Good for them.
Good
Let
for
them.
That.
Get them out
that.
Of their system.
But everything is going on. It's not just one thing. Like, what do you believe? I believe everything.
Yeah, it starts with, like, politics, corruption, money, religion.
Space.
And then it goes down into...
lizard people.
From the occult, paranormal, and then you get into interdimensional, mystic, cosmic. So there is realms to it. But if you follow one of these long enough, you'll be like, I was looking into, like, these politicians being corrupt, and now I'm finding out that they're drinking blood and doing, like, so... It never ends. But there's no end to the hole.
But then you also find out, then you're constantly questioned, what is fake, purposefully fake? Mm-hmm. What is the shit that it's like, I believe the whole concept of the, like, you know, we talk about satanic panic and they talk about these people wearing robes and drinking blood and shit like that. I think a lot of that shit's actually physically done, but then faked. It is done with theatrical things in front of people so that when they try to tell that story to other people, it sounds fucking insane. And that's what they've done to us is the problem with conspiracy theorists has become such a dirty word because they were really effective. detective and saying that it used to just be investigative journalism. It used to be like you're thinking critically about what the government's doing.
Black Jesus, a.k.a. Obama, passed a law which said the government can use propaganda against the people. And that was passed.
They know what they're doing. I had a connection to a guy in the PSYOPs for the U.S. Army.
I love that that's like a general, like, hey, do you want to go to PSYOPs or do you want to go into...
Yeah, he said that he was like, he just got brought in. It's like a guy shows up. He's like, you're really good at tests. Why don't you come over to this other building with us? And all of a sudden you're in this other place and they're like, we're making fake radio shows to blast into Afghanistan where we mix Katy Perry songs with like sentences that are supposed to destabilize the fucking Al-Qaeda in these areas where they did this whole thing where we take Al-Qaeda and we tell funny blooper stories about things that they've done wrong and like where they put like boing and shit on like underneath it. And we do it to lessen the fear of people have of Al-Qaeda to try to slowly pull their power back and do all this shit. But he's like a part of it. He's like, yes, this is what we're doing in wartime actively. But a part of what we're also working on is the an American, like a domestic system. Jeez. Where we're constantly bombarding us. So, I mean, advertising and all this stuff. It's like, I think 100%. That Black Panther is about fossil fuels. Like, that's like, it's like a deep dark.
Somebody said that shit. Like, there's way more to that stuff. You know, it's like, I got in an argument with, again, these two feminists about how, like, there is a straight up propaganda marketing campaign against white men. And I'm not trying to be like, I'm a white guy, man. Get my hood and all that. I'm not white.
I'm Polish. I'm a part of it. Right. That's another race.
Yeah, I'm totally respect that. But it's to me, it's more about like what was done to the black male over a century time is now starting to be done to white males in the sense that they are trying to destabilize the family unit, in my opinion. Like it was done systematically against black men where they would pass these laws, these crimes where crack was like the amount of a helicopter. Now you pull these men out of the family unit. Now they're in jail and these families are like disintegrating. And now I think that's happening with like heroin instead of crack. It's heroin, which is affecting like white middle class and poor males. Now you're throwing them all in jail. And these fucking families have no parental paternal idol or role model in the families, and it starts, and it's like that's what it's like so psychological, and you just see the demonization going on.
They run games. I think that's kind of it's interesting in a way where if you look at it, like they kind of run thought scenarios on the American population and kind of see what happens. And I think a part of what's happening right now is this. Like the Time's Up, Me Too movement, that kind of thing that's happening is all sort of, it's supposed to be like weirdly about Hollywood. It hasn't really dipped into the rest of what's happening right now.
It's very much a bubble thing.
It's a bubble thing. They've isolated it to Hollywood. It's because it's, to be honest, it's been like Donald Trump should be in fucking court. Like of 100%. All of this shit, like all of this should be this, like looked into. A part of it's always a great distraction. And also, what can you just be like, they're just so happy that we're occupied so we could do all this other shit. Donald Trump is such a perfect dude for the intelligence community.
Do you really think he wasn't supposed to win? Because if you look at his administration, his presidency, it mirrors Clinton so much. It's unbelievable.
I think it just shows even more so how little it matters who's president, and they're going to get their games.
I would accept that.
They're going to get their games going no matter what their games are. Like they are whatever. If it was Clinton, it was going to be something else. If there was going to be other games going on that they were going to try to do, they could be more. It would be exactly as Obama went. Like basically the same kind of shit, except you'd have the civil niceties. That's the idea of like keeping things liberal in a personal way, which is keeping us and the media at bay and abated. Because what we're having now is that because Donald Trump and the media are at odds, they also both completely benefit from each other. They both are sucking each other's dick.
It's that LeBron James, Laura Ingraham fight where they're both, hey, just shut up and dribble. Now he can go, look at these white people telling me what to do.
They're all benefiting.
Yeah, 100%.
The old stuff. So the media is now running their own world of conspiracy theories. The president himself is sending out his own conspiracy theories. You know who loves it? The CIA, who are running a proxy war against Russia and Syria right now. Or all this other kind of shit where it's like, there's a bunch of black ops shit that it's like, if you just look into the world of UFOs, you start to see like, Oh, like especially with the new the aeronautics, the aerialized weaponings. It was the ATIP, is what it's called. That just came out.
Yes.
Luis Elizondo was the whistleblower and all this shit with fucking Tom DeLonge from Blink 182. Like, what the fuck's happening?
What
scenario are we in?
What is going on?
But the which is just like it's fun as shit for somebody like me. But I imagine you'd be pretty like what like upset if you weren't like me. But you look at it and you're like, well, just in this small little dinky world of UFOs to them, which is not, because it's a multi-million dollar industry that they have
billions hidden. Or trillions, dude. I mean, like, $24 trillion is missing. It's not missing, it just isn't allocated.
Yeah,
and you don't know where this has gone. Well, we did the underground tunnels with Bert Kreischer like a week ago.
This shit, all the Bechdel shit.
I know.
No, it's fucking crazy. It's like all of the, that's why I like that episode so much, because underground bases is a thing that I'm really into, because a part of it's like you go through that shit. They spent billions of dollars on this industry for what? So yes, UFOs for me, that's the white hat side of the covert op saying, being like, this is cool, like we're hiring some scientists, we're secretly going to UFOs, it's super fascinating. But that just means, obviously, if there's a 5% sliver of white hat shit, how much of it's just like, we're making monkey men.
Yeah.
We put a bomb inside of a dog's ass, and we're going to see if we could get it to blow up Kim Jong-un. Be like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, what about the fact that Kim Jong-un could be a psyops? That, like, we just run that whole fucking thing, and that whole thing is just meant to be so when we need to get people nervous about what's going on out there, we just make this little puppet guy fucking go.
Screaming and shit, and they're like, he's got a funny haircut. It's great.
Yeah.
But it's like, we did the same thing with Gaddafi. Gaddafi was a fake villain that was all was propped up into being like because we couldn't go at the other destabilized areas. So they made this fun little villain dude with the robes and all the hot lady fucking warriors all around him. It's very smart.
The episode, I gotta be honest with you, underground episode, I kind of broke me in the fact that thinking that we might be able to change this. But I'm like, if it's that big that they're hollowing out fucking, you know, mountains, and there's an underground Amtrak that just elite motherfuckers use for when the bombs drop, like, it's just so big.
It's so much because they've been spending trillions of dollars secretly, and we have no idea what's going on. Congress has no idea what's happening. Black ops is such a big hole. Like, oh, shit. I can't imagine, like, walking into that bunker being like, but they said a lot of the schools can't get books. And they're like, no, we have plenty of books, but we keep them down here for the president's son.
Yeah. It's so crazy, dude. Now, before we get into our...
We're just immediately screaming. No, that's what
fine.
I like, is that we can immediately
start. I finally have somebody who talks to me the way I like to get talked to. This guy's always like, you're yelling at people. I'm like, it's not yelling, it's passion. You know, who knew an Armo and a Polish guy could get along so well?
Fervent enthusiasm, I think, is the Billy Mays, his selling style. Yeah. Is that what they called it? Is fervent enthusiasm.
And then he just dies of cocaine because, a fucking luggage hit his head. No, dude,
he was
coked out of his skull. You know how much you gotta love coke to fly coked out of your skull? Like, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah, you're just strapped into a tiny edge chair, and he's a big fucker too.
Yeah,
he was like a broad shoulder,
just
like
gacked out, just fucking flying, dude, high as shit, wanting to like jerk off on the fucking stewardesses, dude.
Do you think that if I go to the cabin, they'll let me fly the plane? Just like grabbing people and back and forth. I'll have 5 Diet Cokes, please. I need them in one go.
Hi, I'm Billy Mays, and I want to fly this plane.
Like, whoa, dude, don't touch anything.
Look at how many bloodstains I can clean with my OxyClean.
When I had an issue with stimulants, I used to have a job on a construction site working inside the elevator.
That's very ominous, by the way. Yes. When I had a problem with stimulants.
I always hate
that. What does that mean? You like don't like bright colors? Children laughing is weird? Like, what does that mean?
Stimulants, not being stimulated.
Okay.
But I worked inside of a construction elevator, the one that was on the outside. Oh. So for 8 hours a day, I was inside of a box.
Hold on. You had to press the buttons?
Yeah, I had to like manually stop it on each floor. It's a construction, a build being like brand new construction.
And then you're just, and you're doing your little bumps.
I'm just like reading Stephen King and like never blinking, and they're calling me Shaggy, and I'm just like drawing like weird hieroglyphics on the wall. And like, I look back to that like.
2 days in, you're just smearing your shit out.
Well, at least it got built quickly. I like that idea. People really focus. You get in there, like, get it done. It's not like in New York where things just sit and it's just fucking being constructed for 3 years.
Yeah, I knew I had a problem when my buddy stopped me. I thought I was using eye drops, but they're the ice drops. And he was like, just slapped it out of my hand. I almost just dropped some like mint right in my eyeball.
Oh my God.
He's like, bro, you need to take it down a notch.
I love that he didn't send you home. Hey, just chill.
Take
chill.
It down. And I don't mean the elevator.
I know I'm operating the jackhammer, but you're scaring me.
So let's get into this. We're kind of thinking of what to talk about. And it's kind of cool that you're. Your expertise, or what you love to talk about, is in fact UFOs.
It's just, and it, we're in the golden age now. Like, this is going to be the new golden age of UFOs, especially after
it's golden
the,
age of all conspiracies. I feel
like it's,
everything
it's cool.
is like popping off right now. Like the Reddit conspiracy subreddit is just going nuts,
that
and I
place
love
is
it.
Crazy,
I love it.
I do like it. I go through, and every once in a while, I'll still even dip into 4chan. But 4chan's just so evil that
and
it's not
just
the same.
Too weird, like yeah. App for Reddit is perfect, but 4chan is just like weird.
Reddit reminds me of like a bazaar in some like foreign country where they're like fresh fish dates, and you're like, yeah, oh, too much going on, man. I gotta get out of here.
I like seeing all the bits and sundries, because then you can get kind of an idea of what the underbelly of the internet's going through. And Reddit has a good aggregate for all. Like, I like the upvoting and shit. It's like it's pretty great, but for UFOs specifically, because of the disclosure that happened in December
on on Rogan's show, is that what you're talking about?
So it officially came out in December 2017 that he revealed Luis Elizondo is a guy who formerly worked at the Pentagon, came out and he said he was a part of this thing called ATIP, which I believe is the aerial aeronautics. I have to find out what the exact.
I love how you're looking at Aaron like they back you up like some weird Polish like hookup.
Come
you know?
On, come to ask our nanus. but is there part of but you basically said that the U.S. government in 1968 said we're not spending any more money going at UFOs. We're not looking at them anymore. Quit hassling us. We find out in 2007, as early as that, there was one program called ATIP that they gave $28 million to with Harry Reid that came in and he was in charge of
doesn't
it.
Doesn't seem like that much money, $28 million. That seems like a power forward in the NBA, like one power forward.
Yes, it is.
It's
it
not
is.
That much money, no. $28 million.
No, that is like one of Oprah's homes.
Yeah, that's one house for Oprah.
Yes. That's why I think it's one they let go.
Oh.
I think that they're, to me, it's just a showing of a pattern of this is how we do it now. There's no one big Project Blue Book or Project Twinkle or like one of these things where we are, it's like it's got like offices and right. shit. It's like, now we just do many programs exist like this, all doing little things. Like, so Robert Bigelow runs this thing. He was a multi-billionaire, works for Bigelow Industries that works with NASA. And he, basically, he's this crazy billionaire.
Is he bald?
No, sable gray hair. Oh, he's one of those.
Nice. Jeff Bezos looks exactly like Lex Luthor. Am I right? Like
he's jacked now,
yeah,
too.
Oh, he's just jacked. He's bald. And he just wants revenge on all the chicks who would not bang him back in the day.
By sending drones to their home and taking pictures of them going to the bathroom.
He's got a cat. And he's just...
he's all over our shit. Yeah. Fucking Alexa. We got to get rid of the Alexas.
How about laughing? Like, nobody cares that it's laughing at people. Like, I'm like, dude, AI is coming alive, dude.
I trust the robots. I say give them a chance. Okay, I have a whole long thing where I do believe a robot should be given a chance. Let him give him a chance. Come on. They're allowed to run shit for a little bit.
Is this before or after a fleshlight experience?
My Marcus Parks, who is the producer on the last podcast on the left, has a fleshlight that he loves. But the problem is that he eventually had to get rid of it because his girlfriend was sick of him putting it in the dishwasher. Because that's how you have to fucking steam clean it.
I love that, dude.
So I just think it was one of them. And then now it just shows that the U.S. government has been actively looking into this shit. And the main problem is that they just don't know what it is. And they are afraid to say that we just don't know.
What are we talking about? AI or UFOs?
UFOs.
They AI, don't know what it is?
They don't know what it is.
Okay, so we had a guy on our, he does our Patreon podcast. And his father is like 80-something and like on the last, you know, coming to the end, right?
Mm-hmm. I love those guys because you can get him to say anything.
Oh, he saw did, something. Dude. He pulled us. He pulled our friend aside and was basically like, "I'm gonna tell you, back in like the 50s, man, I was working at this thing in this institute in Chicago, and they asked me to go down and fix something, and I went downstairs and I went to a floor I've never been to, and I saw them doing experiments on monkeys, on horses, and then I saw something I've never seen before, which is this giant hangar and this giant what I could only be described as a spaceship looking motherfucking thing, and there was just these green gray shit just crawling all over it, right? Crawling with a big one, and then there was a little one, and then they saw him, then before he knew it there was guns pulled on him. But he said every year he got visited by men in black.
Yeah, dude shows up. They always talk about that. A guy comes later on. Just like, "How you doing, Greg? Doing good? Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. How you doing? Let's have some coffee." Yeah. "Oh, I don't really have time for coffee." "Oh, you have time for coffee?
Yeah.
Let's sit down and like have a long talk about where we... So you made a little trip to Wisconsin. Why'd we go there?" You know what I mean? They're like, "Oh, shit." And they all talk about this because they signed this ordinance. I was just reading about it. It's this... Even if you were inadvertently, when you work at any sort of intelligence level, whatever your clearance is, you have to sign this thing that essentially just says, if I even accidentally reveal any sort of concealed information for my entire life, someone can come and just even if it's a rumor, they can pick me up, put you in Fort Leavenworth for 20 years. And it's just like that. So
does
they
that
are,
ever happen?
I am certain that it does and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I bet you we don't hear a lot about it. I bet you a lot of it is when they're super old, they're like, fuck it, because a part of it is it works into their plan of, yeah, let that crazy fucking 80-year-old say what he saw and we'll all laugh at him because that's how we work.
Mm-hmm. And that was what, in the 50s or 60s? That's like talking about, dude, and they have this game, it's called Atari, and they play, and it's this dot, and it takes on this other dot.
"I've never seen a dot move so fast, and the paddles I can control."
"And it's a little turn, and you turn it this way, and then you press a button, and another dot comes out and shoots the other dot."
If I brought J. Allen Hynek an iPhone from when he was working, he'd be like, "Look at this." He'd be like, "Tell me where the grays are. Tell me where they are." It's like, so yes, they don't know what he's fucking looking at. But what the question is, though, in my mind, is the problem is, again, is that what everybody's always concerned about is that they are that they are a ship that comes from another galaxy and that they are actual beings that live inside of it. But what if that shit's a part of a thing that we just don't understand about how our brain deciphers reality and what is reality? What does it mean to be real? What if this shit is 50% psychic? But then in the end, it is like we create the objects that we see because our brain is interpreting weird interdimensional things that come and scoop me up, stick a thing up my nose, scoop my fucking sperms out of my balls, sometimes using a lady. Which is kind of cool. It's like we recently did an interview with a guy that lost his virginity to a gray. That he was like, it was called Love and Saucers. This thing had great tits. It showed up big, crazy, nice tits. Kind
like
of
anime tits?
Yes. Nice, like Asian-y face.
Oh, yeah.
Very Olivia Munn.
Yeah.
But had a wig on because it was completely bald gray. It said his vagina at first and made him so, they made
started
him so
barking.
Hard. Well, it was like, so. And they made him so hard using a thing, this like rod they put in his brain. It's so hard it hurt.
Yeah.
And then she would just squat on his dick up and down until he kind of came and he didn't really like it. But then later on, they began to have sensuality where she started to like literally go boop and touch his nipples like with both Indon's fingers. And he'd be like, "Oh," he's like, "and the pleasure I felt was something that cannot go described. It's a type of the purple and lavender waves of pleasure." And it's like, so that is, I understand why it's like, we don't know what it is. But what if it's like half a dream that you're making up that you create physically in your mind because that's how reality works. And that's why people like Jacques Vallée says, compares aliens to like fairies and gnomes and yeah. shit that's been since the beginning because yeah, that's just how
it's all going on, dude. And what if AI is just like studying porn right now and like in this hopes of like getting with us and then that they think that's what we want? Like, oh, hey,
oh,
lady.
Stop fucking me. This machine needs to stop fucking me. And I know that someone said that my prostate's supposed to involve, create the most incredible orgasm.
They
but
kidnap some chick and like eight black guys come out. I thought you liked this. You're like, no, that's no, not my no. thing.
Steps out of the 3D printer and just starts choking you. You're like, why? Why? Jesus.
So we were kind of coming up, but we're driving, and he goes, how about that doc? And the doc is called Extraordinary, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us a little about
the Stan Romanek story. It's available on Netflix. So stories of spindly humanoids taking hapless humans from the illusionary safety of their homes is nothing new in the realm of conspiracy. Alien contact comes in many forms. While researching this, I literally found over 100 different types. They call them CEs for close encounters. We know 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, this one gets us all the way up to 7. And I'll get there eventually. So
it's
Romanek, Stanley Romanek is the subject of Extraordinary. The Stan Romanek story was originally released in 2013 and became available on Netflix in June of 2017. So go check it out so you guys see what we're talking about. In the documentary, the chronicles that Stan describes as his long history with UFOs. Initially, the film appears to be simply a counting of many notable events, videos, photos, he records audio, and Stan keeps what he calls evidence to let it speak for itself. The sheer volume of evidence is often enough for the ufologists that believe him just to say that this shit has got to be real, right?
Right, right. Because it is crazy, dude.
Because it's like over like 13 years, like 195 documented events that he's written down, all different. But when I first started watching this, my notes, I immediately said, Stan looks like a character from Crank Anchors.
Yes, yes, it's the goatee.
Yeah, and he has his dead eyes.
Mm-hmm.
There's like soulless dead eyes.
And then you know he'll go on so now he's suffering. Maybe that's the bummer of it. Is that he's got some child porn. He's going to jail for child porn for admitting that he had a bunch of images.
So he admitted he did it? I thought he says he's fighting it.
He says he's fighting it.
Well, I want to get into this. As I'm watching this video, it reminds me of a sketch on HBO used to have, Not Necessarily the News. And it was a funny sketch about how, like, and it was basically every 30 seconds a man gets mugged in New York City. But the sketch was that one guy was getting mugged every 30 seconds. So they'd be interviewing this guy and give me your gun, give me this. Every 30 seconds, it was just over and over and over again. And I just thought, man, this is the guy who gets mugged every 30 seconds, man. Like, all this shit going down on this one dude was just like crazy to me.
I wonder if, so Stan Romanek to me, I think, is really interesting because later on, I mean, he'd go get a viral YouTube hit with the Boo video, right? Which is the alien popping its head above the window and popping in.
Yeah.
But leading up to that, he saw a bunch of crazy shit. I actually wonder, we talk about it on the show, whether or not you have to be crazy to see UFOs or seeing UFOs like makes you crazy because of the pressure it does and how it splits your reality open.
Right.
He was seeing a lot of activity. He saw a lot, like the pictures of his puncture wounds, how many times he was abducted, how many different UFOs he recorded. And then I wonder if at some point he felt the impetus to start making shit up. Because more and more people show up looking for proof, and you have to be like, no, you don't understand. My nose is bleeding. This thing picked me up last night.
I felt that a lot.
But they're like, you're full of shit because you don't have any alien cum in a jar. And he's just like, I know that. So what you have to then do is
get alien cum in a jar.
Yes, and how you milk them.
You see that a lot in social media now where it's like, and I'm not going to say names, but I've seen people who kind of like get a little hit either playing to the super right or the super left. You know, Jamie Kilstein, good friend of mine, was kind of talked about that where he kind of got into this weird cycle because he was like, he kind of became this male feminist. And then it just like, it started feeding in where he just like, he'd have to say this outrageous like shit against men. And then So people be like, yeah, yeah. And you get retweets and all these famous people be like, yeah, keep going. And you, I talk about a lot in this town. It's like, I see people get militarized in this town because it gets likes and it gets retweets. The more crazier you say, the more people like gravitate to you. Like this show, like kind of goes down the middle. I'm a lefty, but I mean, like I rail against Clinton. So it's like, you could see how there's.
She's got blood on her hands.
Right. But I tell people if this was 15 years earlier, I'd be going after Cheney and Bush for all that crazy. It's just who's in the crosshairs right now. But I see people who like, oh, they get a little taste of like, oh, they got a lot of retweets. Oh, if I say this crazy shit, more people will gravitate towards it.
Well, we are obviously validation machines. I think in showbiz specifically, it's because you kind of have this idea of the sense of fairness or like a thing that's supposed to happen for you, or you come to LA and you experience, you want it to be one way, and then you are looking for the security of a bunch of people saying, yeah, so you do whatever. UFOs, I think it happens so often to these guys. Right. And I think that a part of it is that life's lonely. I bet you it's a fuck ton more lonely if you're getting abducted by aliens all the time. Or yeah. It's just like, you don't know how to talk to anybody anymore because you are being harvested for your fucking cum in a machine that you don't really understand. You're getting kidnapped. So I bet you it makes you real weird at fucking Starbucks.
Right.
Where it's like you're a little bit, you're not a zip zap zoppy when you didn't sleep all night.
Right.
And so, yes, I think he's, you also want it to be real so bad because I bet you also a part of you is wondering if you're making it up too and if you've gone completely insane.
Yeah.
And yes, you're taking videos and you're doing all these things of orbs, but what if it's something you can't explain yet and you've got a bunch of other people who are now counting on you for it to be real because they've now signed their lives and their belief systems over to you. Like you look at fucking a guy named Stan.
Some weird kind of prophet.
You can't believe in a man named Stan.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like because he's not... He just can't. He can't.
What's
do
his
it.
Space seed, though? Or what's his name?
Starseed.
Starseed, you can get behind, yeah. Dude.
So, in the film, Romanek claims that he is a very important person and that the aliens have picked him specifically to bring their message.
That's where to you the start losing people.
Yes, right?
You're like, I'm the space messiah.
Mm-hmm. Straight up cosmic. I mean, Starseed. That sounds like some sort of cosmic pimp, like just slinging some like space
what's
song.
What's up, y'all?
Y'all, who wants to harbor this jizz from Space Seed?
I got this praying mantis that will suck your dick. Never mind the mandibles. They are soft.
He claims to be a frequent flyer with at least one of the many alien species that frequent our planet. He also claims to have another family, including 7 alien-human hybrid children.
Yep.
Yeah.
Happens.
Did they talk about that in the movie? I feel like they didn't talk about.
They gets into it because the movie goes from being like halfway through, it feels like it changes the pace. You know?
Well, they did very well of like, look at all this crazy shit going on. It's got to be real, right? And then it's like, oh, get to know him a little better.
And you're like, oh, fuck, Starseed. Yeah. I didn't know you changed your name Starseed. It's like showing up. It's the whole bit from fucking Sting.
Yeah, him and Meta World Peace are just hanging out.
Yeah. If you're like, I don't understand how you got this fucking nickname, dude. But maybe it is. Maybe you do begin to feel like you're being chosen. And then you start pressing it out. And then there's the other fucking side of ufology that you start reading about where Jacques Vallée and all these people talk about, like, what if there are aliens? And they are interdimensional creatures and they show up. But what if they also lie to you? What if these things show up? Because they talk about it all the time where it's like, why do we trust them?
Yeah.
Why do we say these things come and then we're going to act like they're fucking totally cool? What if there's a branch of them that's like a fucking... It's like the Ashton Kutcher of space who shows up and be like, look at this idiot. Yeah. We told him he's Starseed and now he's doing all this
shit. What if it's a fucking prank show?
Yeah, like all
and they're like, welcome to Dumb Humans. And they just fucking light us up. And they're like, what?
He loves it. Yeah. He loves it. He thinks he fell in love with that gray just because we stole seed from it. You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden this dude's like, I was in love with her. And they're like, yeah, you were.
With Cam laughter behind him. He thinks his name is Starseed.
Tears just streaming down his face, you know, and they're like, this is hilarious. This is some of the best shit we've seen all day. This is better than Impractical Jokers. Yeah. This is better, and it's hard for me to say.
Yeah, he said in 2003 he awoke wearing woman's clothes, an outfit he says the aliens dressed him in.
Oh, so you cross-dressed him now? Yeah. So now the aliens are in the cross-dressing?
Look, he's gay. Look how we made him. Good work, Laxar.
And so, but the way he like played it off, he's like, but can you imagine the look on like the husband's face of the woman that's wearing my shirt to bed? Like, it's like, no, dude, you're the weird one right now. Yeah, I mean, he claims I'm getting beat up. At one point, Stan claims to have been riding his bike to work, which I definitely see Stan doing.
Yeah.
I see him with his cell phone on his belt also.
You mean self-controlled transport. That's how you flip it. You're like, I take myself to work. I don't need these cars.
Yeah. Exactly. So
he definitely still works with a flip phone. Am I right? Is there any way this guy doesn't work with a flip phone?
That's how you keep yourself from being tracked, dude. Yeah. It's not that he can't afford a smartphone. It's that it's like that's what keeps him cloaked.
Yeah, what's up? He was confronted by a van full of four obviously paramilitary men who intended to intimidate him into silence. So they told him, like, shut the fuck up. Like, you better keep your mouth shut and all this. And he's like, hey, man, I'm just Stan. Just doing my thing. A fight breaks out, and Stan describes his sweet fighting moves, including how he used a bicycle chain as a weapon that allowed him to easily dispatch his attackers before the
fight. So, okay, let's break this down. Starseed, who is, like, getting melted by aliens, and taking his self-contained transport unit, right?
To his place of employment, but that's just because he needs money.
Is there any way Stan does not rock jean shorts, by the way? Is there any way he doesn't rock
jean cargo?
Yeah.
You see the pockets hang out of the bottom of it and his weird hairy legs. He's covered in blood from being abducted the night before.
So these four, and we're going to call them, just for the sake of this argument, Mossad agents show
up.
Mossad, the greatest killing machine on the planet, show up, and they're like, stop talking about the milking, okay?
Yeah, and then
more talking about the milking.
And they harass him like a group of boys, like a group of newsies. Hey, give me up, but we got your bike. Give me my bike back. Give me my bike. Nah, bro. Nah, man. You can't have it back, dude. And they're all laughing at him and shit.
This is like level one of Double Dragon. He like picks up the chain.
I can't imagine. Because, you know, for a while, he probably had the chain and said to people that weren't listening to him on the street, being like, I got this chain so I can defend myself against Mossad. And they're like, cool, all right, see you soon. You know, this constant, and then finally, my moment has come.
Yeah, if these guys were paramilitary, I'm pretty sure they could just throw him in a van, chuck him
into... Or sniper fight him.
Yeah, I don't think they're just going to push him back and forth and then he's going to swing a chain at him.
That kid. It's like that moment in like Back to the Future where McFly's like, just makes his fist, and he's just like...
Whoa, this guy's crazy. Let's get out of here. And they all jump to their own bikes because they have Mossad bikes that they rode after him.
Hey, Starseed, don't talk about the aliens. We're going to give you a swirly after third period.
No. You better shut up or else we'll come back. And they just ride off crying.
They should have just thrown him in a wood chipper into a trout farm outside of Bakersfield.
You would just end up you would be in a place made out of aluminum siding with fucking Pantera playing, covered, being blasted with a hose. Like, if they were going to give you the once over.
Yeah.
And this, again, the problem comes into this man's story will become trashed. And then what do you do if you actually have experienced something? How do you then tell a story? Because then they're like, well, yeah, this fucking loser just got rolled by Mossad.
Well, that's the whole theory behind Pizzagate versus Pedogate. You put out the word Pizzagate because they know what's coming out. And it's like, it happens all the time. Even like, let's say, the FISA memo, right? That's coming out, and it comes out like, in 19 days, we're going to put this file. You're like, why are we waiting 19 days?
Just do it
and
now.
Then
you know what
just,
it is.
They just warp the perception of it. So by the time it comes fucking out,
Seacrest is doing the countdown. Day 17, yeah. The Pfizer report.
Yeah, and it's just fucking weird. So they just know. So Pizzagate, they knew what was coming out.
Yeah.
They knew that somebody had hacked this shit. So they jumped on and they called it Pizzagate, and everyone's like, dude, are they really finger blasting kids in a fucking pizza parlor? Fucking come on, dog. You know?
So it takes the scent to fucking, you throw a scent to another dog, gets them off the fucking trail. Now you can go back to keeping shit exactly where you want to keep it.
And what is happening right now, and we'll get right back to this, is word in the fucking subreddits is that a video is coming out with Hillary doing some medieval shit. Right?
Awesome. Right, honestly, right. I would respect her so much more if she did.
Just dark shit like kitty shit, right?
Oh yeah, her with a fucking like cat of nine tails, and they're all dresses like altar boys, and like one, and then another guy dresses Spider-Man comes in. Like they always talk about shit like that.
No, it comes from the top. Yeah. Like, you know. So, but now all this shit's coming out about how there's videos where they could change your, they could put your face on a video.
Oh yeah,
and everybody. But that's setting the reality when the video comes out. They just put her face on that. That's not really her.
I mean, they're trying the same game. We'll get back to this too with the piss tape, all of that shit too. Is they're saying there's like, I was reading an article, there's like five or six piss tapes around that are of somebody that either looks like Donald Trump or is a CGI'd face of Donald Trump on a thing pissing over a bunch of prostitutes. And a part of what they're saying is like, well, first of all, I'd love the casting call. I'd like to just see the what the set is like to shoot the fake videos for it. But also, that's that game is in play.
Or how about the girls who got the role, but the ones who didn't? Like, what did they do wrong not to get peed on by Trump?
They just didn't have flat enough faces so you can see the splashes.
Just, yeah, you just don't look like you're enjoying it enough.
I need you to smile more, but more like you're being paid to smile.
Yeah. So back to this. There's a couple things, like the orb thing and the shadows thing rang really real with me.
They're really cool looking.
Yeah.
I believe in videotaping paranormal events. That some of those orbs and the objects he does are fucking really cool looking, and they feel legit. Especially the earlier shit, where if you go and look at some of his old YouTube videos when he used to just kind of post them, they look like they're happening, and I believe it. It wasn't just until later when he got that alien suit and started pushing it around. It is fun though. Like, to be able to go set up all those pictures, like when the one picture where they dial up the contrast and you see all of the little aliens in the field.
In
and
the field,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking.
And then with like the alien pops his head up, hey, what's going on? Pops it like he's like, this is Hee Haw or some shit like that.
Yeah, it's like, it's like Goldie Hawn.
Yeah.
But did you notice his eyes like kind of squinted? So there's a little bit of like technology.
He's like, hey man, I'm from another planet, but my vision ain't right.
I just don't understand. I think I'm just looking at some fat guy. Is this the president? It's like, no, they have to get, I wonder. Because that's the thing, I looked at it and I was like, I don't know about his history of working on any sort of like CGI effects.
Well, that's my whole thing. That's the biggest problem with that, is that they didn't try to, at least, the first part, set the whole thing.
Yeah.
Set it, let's see it, set it. But then kind of like debunk some of it. Like the marks, like what could have caused those if it wasn't what he's saying it is?
Yeah, they said it could have been his traction thing that he had for his knee that could have caused cuts in his legs.
Oh, he did say that? I didn't see that.
Yeah, the doctor said that in that little intro thing. He was like, well, it could have been caused by the knee stabilizer that was on your leg, but your knee is fixed. So part of it's that was interesting, and that's a thing you hear quite a bit with alien abductions, is people coming back with changes physically and mentally, like the stories of people coming back being able to play the piano or being able to speak other languages. That shit kind of happens.
Would you take a probing to speak Polish?
Yeah.
Would you take a hot alien probe?
I want it too much.
Yeah.
I'm too much of a
slut
for
get
it.
You. They
I
won't
am
get
just
you.
I'm like, gimme, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You've been reading my Tinder profile? Is this what's happening here?
Looking for hot probings?
I'll spread it. I had a weird, I've already had my prostate checked. It couldn't be that much worse than that. And
that's
in the end,
true.
If it makes me cum, it makes me cum, right? And then I don't know. I don't do it in my personal life, but I could maybe have an alien do it, because then it kind of feels like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas moment.
They're just going to harvest that Polish jizz, dog.
I mean, make more kids. I guess whatever helps the family.
So I'm like I can't watch alien stuff with my girlfriend because she immediately shits on it. I think it's more fear out of her than anything.
That's what brings me and my fiance together, is we like alien shit. But it ended my last long term.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It could end this one. I mean, even though we've been together forever and we just accept that we just disagree on shit. But the thing I thought he started really losing it with the children, like the pictures of the kid is just, there's an eyeball and it's like under the fucking furniture. And it's just like this, you're like, oh, you could
Photoshop.
So obviously Photoshop that.
Yes. I think he went crazy. I think what we were talking about, I think that he just at some point was like, I'm sick of people harassing me and debunking me.
Right.
I need to go and be more aggressive. And I need to show, like, I need to, like, make these videos. Because then it's real. It's,
right.
The ends suits the mains or whatever.
Right.
Because then you can just, he's like, whatever. As long as I get more believers on board, they can hear my real story about being starseed and about how I have a new trap album coming out where he just starts. Because, you know, eventually he was going to go into EDM.
Of course.
Some kind of electronic
music. I'm surprised
it's
not a DJ that's like, DJ Area 51. And he's just got a giant alien. I mean, there's Marshmallow Head.
We're getting into it. I think it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
It has to happen.
And he's probably get sponsorship by that beef jerky you get on the way out to Vegas. You ever seen the space beef jerky?
Yeah. I would take that in a second.
Yeah, I mean, space beef jerky's got to be good, dude.
So this didn't end the way we thought. December 2017, Fort Collins, Colorado. A Northern Colorado alien abduction author, Stanley Romanek, as we now know, was sentenced to 2 years in a halfway house following a conviction of felony possession of child pornography.
Hold on.
Yikes!
So he gets probation?
Check it out.
For 2 years?
A double secret probation. And I do think that he should be in a full house to protect himself from everybody else. Like, don't put him in some half house.
But it's weird, though. You get convicted of kiddie porn, and they're sending you to a halfway house?
Supposed to flip them up.
Yeah. Reports the 55-year-old was sentenced after a jury found him guilty of possession charge and not guilty of distributing child pornography in August. In a statement to the court, Romanek says he's a good person and asks for the court's mercy. Romanek was ordered to be a registered sex offender, and he will be on probation for 10 years. Now, child pornography is one of those crimes that will ensure to raise the hackles of most people in our society. I mean, if you're found with a little bit of, like, you know, weed or LSD in your house, many folks are, like, barely bat an eyelash.
Yeah, but why should you?
But involving something related to the abuse of minors, I mean, you're done. Guilty in the court of public opinion, doesn't matter what the verdict ends up being. If they say, like, Sam Tripoli's fucking kids in Hollywood, guess what?
That is a problem now. Like, towards the end, they're like, before you judge this guy, just know that there's been basically proof that the NSA, FBI, CIA have malware that could put kiddie porn on you. Now, a friend of mine who went crazy when I was, he's no longer with us, he passed away from cancer, but he went nuts on these people he worked with, and he tried to put kiddie porn on these people's fucking computers. And I'm like, fuck, man.
I mean, it's the constant problem, right? Where it's the chicken the egg scenario of dealing with the intelligence communities, where it's very true that he could have just been sandbagged by people looking to discredit him, because we know for a fact with MK Ultra program that was on the books. That is how they handled certain people. That is a built-in defense mechanism that they have. Same thing with the guy that they said that they dosed on LSD, for who used to work for the CIA when they were just starting MKUltra.
Oh, yeah, and then, like, the guy who flew out the window.
Yeah, but they had already built in their manual, one of their manuals with their technique manuals. They have a thing called dropping a guy, and they drop. You'd perform a drop, which was taking a guy, throwing him out a window, saying he jumped. And it's like, that's what you do. So it's been in there. Problem is that Stan Romanek.
Is that official?
That's official.
Chapter 5, dropping a guy.
Yeah, they have a whole.
Throw him out a window. Chapter 6.
CIA techniques, it is in. It's how they handle you. It's just like, it's a thing that you practice. Like, you go to a place in Virginia and get an 180 pounds, like, fucking sandbag, and you and a buddy have to, like, do fucking core workouts, throwing it out a fake window.
Shut up.
It's shit like that, where they have contingencies.
Right, of course.
But Stan Romanek has already shown himself to be a liar with the other things for me, and I wonder what's happening here. I think that, to be honest, the CIA already got him. In my world, he had already hung himself by his own noose by becoming so ludicrous. So it's like, planting the CP on his fucking computer is what's going to make him, I don't know, it just seems kind of gilding the lily.
Who planted it, himself or somebody else?
If someone had, I feel like it's a hat on a hat. We don't need to really kill him like this, because people aren't taking him seriously anyway.
Okay, I gotcha. And that's why he only gets 2 fucking years, because everyone's going to look at this guy like he's crazy anyway.
Yeah, so who gives a shit about why fake it? So it's like, I think maybe he did it. I think you can both be in. I think a part of what it is, the scenario could do, infects people of vulnerable psychiatries. I'm going to put it that way. I think people that are already very flawed mentally, that are kind of, they are technically subject to this shit.
No, more. I totally agree with that. You know, you see a lot of things with these crisis actors in terms of, like, you know, they'll interview somebody at something.
That shit's so fucking
weird. But it's like, but then they're like, oh, she was on Dr. Phil. I'm like, well, you know, people who are on Dr. Phil go places, and they can be, in the middle of some crazy shit that goes down, and they will be the first people to run to the news to want to talk. So I'm not saying that, you know, Vegas or this school shooting in Florida, that there wasn't shady shit going on. I'm just saying you got to be, you know, to be like, oh, she's an actor. Well, a lot of kids want to be actors now. I mean, I'm not saying...
Entertainment business is beautiful. Everyone wants to be in it. My mom wants to be in it.
And you don't have to be in L.A. to be in it. You could be in Florida being an actor.
Your dream can't be made. You just have to lie about a school shooting.
Yeah.
And then get to L.A. for pilot season. And it's important to get here for December so you have the meetings leading up to pilot season. I'll help crisis
actors. Are you in the false flags at all? Are your thoughts on that?
I am intrigued. I wonder. I think that there's a lot of weird psychic coincidences, and I think there's the human factor in it, is what you're saying, is that crazy people that are going to talk about this kind of shit kind of show up at this shit, and maybe there's a weird kind of relationship between a lot of crazy stuff happening to a crazy person who's also really willing to talk about it, and yes, you could maybe just outright say that this is a lie, and it's not, but there's also like a weird, I don't know, there's an energy cycle for me.
It's quantum entanglement. I mean, if you think about it right now, all three of us probably have variant degrees of crazy that we've like literally are touching our molecular.
Should we power rank who's craziest here?
Oh, I don't know.
Trip, I think Henry, then me.
I think
I'm the most crazy?
Is crazy and passion the same thing?
Yeah.
I wonder because inside I'm so much worse than on the outside.
I get it. That's why you're a great actor.
But that's what it is. On the inside, I have problems deep, but they really only hurt me.
No, I get that, dude. Let me ask you something. Now, you are very, very far in the game. Like, your podcast is continuously in the top 10 on iTunes and all that stuff. We constantly get hit up by people going, aren't you worried they're going to try to suicide you? And they laugh about it. I'm like, well, this is a real fucking thing. But I always tell people, there's about 1,000 people ahead of me who have to get knocked off. If all those guys are gone, then I'm going to start getting worried. Do you ever worry? Because you are, in the weird way, the premier. I mean, you're the more comedy version of. There's other conspiracy theories, but I think your guys may be the highest profile version of what we're doing.
We, you know what? It's interesting because there was a time when we were doing 9/11 and Marcus and I.
You guys did 9/11?
We did it.
Okay. That's how you got the show going.
Well, you ghost ride the airplane right before it crashes.
And that's what you're going to see. I'm coming out this fall, my new series on Saudi Arabian television. Yeah. I'm doing great over there.
Yeah.
That's where my career is fucking shit
right,
in the fucking
right,
stratosphere.
Right, right, right.
But we did episodes on 9/11 as we were talking on over the phone because I was in Canada. Marcus was in New York.
Right.
And we'd hear these clicks. Every single time when we talk, we hear these clicks.
Toggles.
Yes, and we were like, it sounds like, and then eventually we started talking at the clicks, but like, if you're listening to us, fucking, yeah, man, we're about to figure it out. Two comedians, that's us. We're really about to fucking blow this open. And then we'd start talking about like dating and shit, and we'd hear another click being like, oh, you're fucking bored?
Oh, now
and
you're out?
Like, oh, you don't want to listen to all of our shit anymore? Been threatened. I actually, I'm more afraid of our fans than the government. I think that they are more. I feel like there is more in.
We are courting an eclectic group.
I love them, and a part of it's keeping them close, and a part of it's also knowing that I am very similar to them.
Yes,
like we're all kind
yes.
of like a.
You're a little
group.
Shinier than probably some of them.
I just yell.
Yeah, me
more.
Too. And I like it.
Yes, I'm a fucking hog for attention.
We are too, dude. I mean, like, it's like I'm meeting my brother.
Yes, it's nice. It
it's like if you took my personality, put it in him, and we have you. That's
we're
what
just
we do.
Two broiling maniacs that need to speak, and
yes.
So we get on top of the group.
Yes.
I wonder if, because, you know what, it just feels like there maybe was a time that they think that they would go and attack entertainers, but now entertainers are so kind of like defanged in terms of really inspiring. We feel, yeah. I'm going to say I know a lot of comedians I know that have become like activists and have become, they feel very important and they believe that they speak for everyone. You know, like people who go on Twitter and speak
yeah.
at everyone, like
yeah.
they're at a press
yeah.
conference
yeah. Yeah.
and you're just being like, okay, so I know for a fact I'm not important. I know that I'm a comedian.
Right,
so
right.
I think a part of it is that is what levies the government from wanting to spend the $15,000 it would probably take to murder me.
Yeah.
They're just like, who gives a shit?
Right.
He's the fat idiot anyway.
I think people, as dead on the inside as these people are, and we'll wrap it up here, but as dead on the inside, I don't think it's just like, oh yeah, just kill him. I don't think.
Oh no, there's a couple of steps. And I think that they know in the end it helps because if people view, again, they embrace their jujitsu. They embrace the force coming at them, and they, or what's a judo does that shit too.
Yeah, and they throw you, yeah.
Yeah, and so they'll just take the it's like, yes, he is a silly little comedian.
Yeah.
He continues to be so.
Right,
if
right,
we were to
right,
kill him,
right.
You know, then he becomes Bill Cooper. Yeah, he becomes the thing.
If you get too big of a revolution going, then I think you get in trouble. If you just kind of talk about what's going on, like I've learned, don't break any news on this show. Don't ever. That's how you get taken out, when you break news.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
I'm going to go investigate this. Nah.
I don't need new shit.
Yeah.
I like going into old shit that's already been dealt with, and we could talk about it and use it for the future privately.
Yeah.
I do my own stuff,
right.
And I don't.
We are the compilation porn of conspiracies. That's what we do.
Just about highlights.
Yeah, we just do the best, bang out the best. Henry, you are a G, my friend.
Yeah, it's
I
been
really
great, man.
Appreciate awesome. You coming on and spending some time. Like I said, we're kind of talking off. I don't know if you have any interest in ever doing stand-up. We do live shows in L.A. We're putting together tiny tours here and there through, like, California to go out, do stand-up. And if it's ever something you're interested in, I'm just trying to find all the conspiracy tribes and bring them together.
Bring them together. I think it's really fucking smart.
Well, we want to do something in Vegas, too, where we do a fucking, like, a conspiracy weekend, con, right? And we get all the big guys and we... do panels all night and all that.
Making me rigid hard.
Yeah.
This is what I wanted. Yeah. So, well, because I got a little bit of the bug because of Crashing, and I've been doing comedy forever, but it's fucking,
We didn't even mention that on Crashing.
Oh, you're on Crashing too?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's great. You
killer
have great
character,
energy,
man.
Dude. You have great energy, dude.
Thank you for
I can't
saying that,
thank
man.
You enough for coming on.
I'm, hell, Satan, man. You thank
know,
you so
hell,
much.
Hell, Satan, praise Jesus, homeboy. Any last thoughts?
Dude, let me know if you ever need another character on your pretty little face is going to hell. I'll be a...
You'll be a porta
soul.
Potty.
Do you want to get painted up?
I want to get tortured.
I'll be painted up.
I'll get painted up.
It's a pain in the ass, but it allows you to be something else.
I'll do it.
You're on that show with Eddie Pepitone. Have you ever seen him do stand up yet?
He's the best.
Oh, he's one of our. Cool. He's one. I think he sometimes he's on.
Where can everyone find you? What's your social media?
Find me at Dr. Fantasty at Instagram, at Henry Loves You on Twitter.
March 25th, homeboy. We're doing live two taping, 7:30, 9:30. At the Viper Room. Go to samtriplelive@gmail.com and get on those now because it's filling up. And again, we want to thank Spotify for sponsoring this episode. The last podcast on the left. Check it out if you already haven't. It's fucking amazing. You guys are great, and we'll see you guys later. Thanks for tuning in, dude.
Thank you.